Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome into Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. Coming up on the show today, coronavirus cases explode. But where the heck is President Trump? It's like he's turned his back and disappeared. And basically his staff saying he doesn't have many meetings lined up at all. Will the economy take a nosedive as a result? We're going to show you some of the new data, and it's troubling. Also on the show today, Trump gets closer to starting his own television network. That's right. Reporting from inside the White House, as Trump wants to take on Fox News with his own television network. Will he succeed? We've been reporting on this for months, but now we've got some big publications that are adding some gravitas to this story. Also on the show today, the mainstream media has a new public enemy number one. And guess what? It is not Bernie Sanders. We'll tell you who it is. Who do you think? Oh, not Bernie Sanders. Who do you think it is? It's not Joe Biden. Who do you think it is? It's not President Trump. I'll tell you who it is coming up on the show today. But first, I got to tell you about our show sponsor. Today, I want to tell you about our friends over at Birch Gold. Many of you have asked, how do I get my money out of this crazy stock market? How do I keep my money safe? Well, you can do that by going to morninginvest.com/gold, and you'll get a free gold kit. No obligation, just to download it. It's totally free. You'll learn how to start safeguarding your IRA, your 401k. This is a great site to buy gold and precious metals. Keep it outside of this corrupt Wall Street banking system. By the way, there was a separate story today on Wall Street. Oh, their benefits are going to be cut. So sad. Their bonuses are going to be cut because they just haven't done as well this year. So their millions of dollars in bonuses are going to be cut. Wah, wah. Sorry, Wall Street. I guess the $5 trillion didn't prop you up enough that we gave you in the form of a stimulus bailout. So take advantage of, go to morninginvest.com/gold to get your free gold kit and learn more about how you can start buying precious metals today. All right, let's talk about coronavirus. These numbers are bad, folks. These new numbers out overnight, and I want to show this chart, which is really troubling. This is perhaps the most troubling chart I've seen in a long time. It's really ominous on the current COVID surge, showing just how much worse this overall trajectory in both in terms of length and absolute numbers than the first two waves. So look at this new blue wave in your screen. That's what we're currently in. You know, you see the March and April surge. You see the purple June and July surge. It's really, really bad. The big picture right now, coronavirus infections jumped by almost 40% in the past week. 40%. Literally, in the past few hours since I was compiling this data, it was about a 17% surge. It's now at 40% surge over the past week, according to these numbers. These new cases have increased over 38 different states, including Washington, D.C. This is a seven-day total right now. And where the heck is President Trump? He's basically disappeared. We haven't heard really anything from him other than a few tweets. He made a little rabbit hole, like came out of his groundhog hole yesterday and went to this Veterans Day memorial or this Veterans Day event at Arlington. And a lot was said about, well, why is Melania standing so far away from him? Also, there was media outrage about the president still after almost 4 years in office, not learning that unless you're a veteran or you're in uniform, you don't salute the flag during the national anthem. You put your hand over your heart, but he still hasn't learned that. So people are furious about this. Veterans are like, you don't have the right as a draft dodger to be doing that. But notice the people in uniform are able to do that because they served. So he was at Arlington. But by the way, he had nothing else on his meeting calendar yesterday. Nothing. And people were outraged because military families were there in the rain, in the cold rain, and he made them wait. He was about 40 minutes late to go from the White House to Arlington National Cemetery, and he had nothing else on his calendar. So he and Melania, of course, they're the only ones that show up. They don't have masks on. Mike Pence also. But everyone else there, members of the military families that are there that don't want to get COVID, they all have masks on, but the president shows up without a mask on. Tale of two different events yesterday, because Joe Biden showed up at a similar veterans event with a mask with his wife, Jill. So did Kamala Harris with a mask. But it was sort of a tale of these two events yesterday. They had a lot of people upset, a little fired up about it. But the big picture right now, the U.S. has never actually controlled this coronavirus. And if you want to look at the latest numbers that are out this morning, this is the current change in coronavirus cases in the past week with a 40% increase. Maine, 84%. Look at all the East Coast. We talked about New York, back to having a hotspot numbers again. New Jersey is surging and considering new lockdowns. Pennsylvania up, all over the place. Ohio up 51%. The Dakotas, there's some really troubling data out of the Dakotas, both states. It doesn't show here on this map just yet, but these are the two worst states in the country, the Dakotas, for percentages of infections. But, you know, just a few months ago, remember how half of this map was blue, decreasing, or in gray and neutral? And now the only ones that are in gray, I mean, those are just gray, like steady, which doesn't mean good news. And then the rest of the country in 38 states is now increasing. Cases rose over the past week in 45 states and held steady in these other five states. Not a single state saw an improvement. The number of people who are sick enough that they need to be hospitalized is also higher than it's ever been. Listen to this data. And still climbing. Nearly 62,000 Americans are in the hospital from coronavirus infections right now. Testing is up too. The U.S. is now conducting just under 1.4 million tests per day. That's up 11% from the week before. But the problem is, because a lot of people say, well, there's more testing. That's the problem, right? There's more testing. There's more cases. No. The problem is that we have more cases for those tests to find. Cases were up nearly 40% this week, far more than the increase in testing. So by those numbers, over 218,000 people have died from COVID-19 in the United States. More than 3 million people have recovered. Per Johns Hopkins, hospitalizations have jumped more than 14% from a week ago. And what's interesting is that Monsif Salou, the White House's top scientific advisor to Operation Warp Speed, of course, this is the guy who knows, you know, he's in charge of this right now on vaccine distribution, et cetera. And because the White House has like buried its head in the sand and won't turn the keys over to Joe Biden's transition team to start having these discussions with the government on vaccines, distribution, COVID, and getting access to the presidential daily brief so that he's up on the latest data and intel. No, stonewalling and basically hiding, not saying a word. So Monsef Saloui, he's the White House's top scientific advisor to Operation Warp Speed, who knows his job might be gone on inauguration day. He tells Axios that he hasn't yet spoken with anyone on Team Biden. He hasn't been instructed to do so by his boss. So he can't just call up Biden. Like, his boss has to tell him to do it. And President Trump is not. Nearly 900,000 Americans applied for first-time unemployment benefits this week. This is a huge surge in unemployment benefits. So let's talk about the economy. As people are now stocking up food like crazy, a number of different companies, Frito-Lay's, Goya, and others have reported that they are ramping up production because they don't want to be caught like they were last time and not enough food in store shelves. People we talked about yesterday, going to Costco, stocking up on toilet paper. I saw images out of California in Costco. The toilet paper is already disappearing again. Buy a bidet. We don't need toilet paper. Or you know what you should do? Just stock up on printer paper. Try that instead. See how that feels. The Labor Department announced these 900,000 new Americans applied for first-time unemployment benefits. People are continuing to lose their job, and they're losing them in far more than they were just a few weeks ago. The highest number since mid-August, and the second weekly increase in a row. And President Trump loved to be there telling you how the economy is just burning and churning. It's a V-shaped recovery. For who? For Wall Street? Yeah, Wall Street's doing fine. Stocks continue to explode. They're totally out of touch with Americans. Meanwhile, the only meetings that Trump has been having right now is with his legal team. We'll get to that in a second, but here are some more numbers right now. These COVID deaths expected to get to 400,000 by February 1st in this new model that's out this morning. Look at this. By February 1st, 400,000 COVID deaths in the United States, according to this new modeling. And these COVID infection hospitalizations have hit a peak with 131,000 with a new record. So, folks, we're breaking all kinds of records. We're doing great. So what's President Trump doing? Well, according to the staff, he's really not doing much. Trump's public schedules show little interest in working right now. He's basically in the White House eating McDonald's, watching television, according to reports. And his public schedule is pretty empty. So, which is really no excuse for you to show up to Arlington in the rain while these military families are there. You of a man with that has bone spurs and was a draft dodger shows up 30 minutes late for these military families during a pandemic in the pouring rain, in the cold pouring rain in D.C. So no public meetings. What's he meeting about? He did have a meeting yesterday with his legal team on this election recount and to try to continue to raise money. So according to these reports, he's continuing to try to phase out Joe Biden and he's continuing to try to raise money. So these reports this morning are pretty fascinating that now we know the money that he's trying to raise through his super PAC, the money that he's trying to solicit from donors, will not necessarily go to his right to his legal legal battle or to fight the election fraud. We now know, according to the reporting this morning, this is amazing. And this is why I feel bad for any of these Trump supporters who, in through their hard-earned money, they're like, you know what? This is an outrage. Biden's stealing the election. They're believing all of this crap, right? They want to take $100 and donate it to Trump so he can fight for democracy. Well, guess what? It's not going to go to Trump. It's not going to go there. And it turns out, according to the reporting this morning, and you have to read this in the fine print, any monies donated that are under $8,000 will not go to the legal defense fund. So you have to donate $8,000. How many of you, raise your hand right now, would like to donate $8,000 to the Trump election defense fund? You need to give him more than $8,000 so that it actually goes towards his legal bills or towards fighting against this Joe Biden recount issue. Instead, that money, if you don't donate $8,000, it goes directly to the president's campaign, the Republican National Committee. So you're sending any money you think you're sending in for the to defend or for the election in a recount or fight against Biden is not. It's going to go to the RNC. And it's stated in the fine print, these disclosures give the president and his team wide berth to use these funds as they see fit in helping, including helping to fund the two runoff Senate races in Georgia. So here you sit back, you hardworking Trump supporter. You're a good-hearted American who works hard and you believe that Trump, you know, is your man and you believe that you believe the hype on television that he lost because of some fraud. First of all, we'll get to the lack of evidence on that in a second. But let's say you believe that, right? And you're like, honey, we were going to go out to dinner this weekend, big celebration, you know, after a long week of work. We were going to go to our favorite steakhouse. I want to take that $50 and I want to send it to Trump. These people have been, over the past 24 hours, have been bombarded with text messages and emails from the Trump campaign. Overwhelmingly. In fact, people here watching right now on my show, I saw it in the comments. They're like, how do I turn these off? I've got like seven text messages from Don Jr. I got 5 from the Trump campaign. I got 3 from like Eric Trump. Here, I got it. You know, just click on that. Click on those phone numbers, those text messages, and unsubscribe, or put, you know, send it to spam. Block it. They're trying to raise money. So now these people are going to send $50 of their hard-earned money to the Trump campaign. They think they're going to help, right? Fight Joe Biden, because he's our man. Well, guess what? That $50, you just flushed it right down the toilet to the Republican National Committee so that they can run re-elections in other whatever they want. Hosting lavish dinners, whatever. The RNC will gladly take your money. This is not going to help Trump. Meanwhile, what are they even fighting anyway? Because Karl Rove wrote a piece this morning. The architect, Karl Rove, wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal, an opinion piece. It says, basically, the election results won't be overturned. He says that right now, the election results won't be overturned. I'm quoting Karl Rove now. He says, recounts occasionally change margins in the hundreds, never in the tens of thousands. Karl Rove's advice, pack up your boxes, get out, and make this a smooth transition. That's how he ends this column. Game over. More Americans wanted change, he says in this column. Karl Rove, who's, you know, look, not a champion of Donald Trump, to be sure. Obviously a huge supporter of George W. Bush, who's also not a big fan of Donald Trump. But nonetheless, he's right. I once had dinner with Karl Rove, and he brought with him a binder this thick and was showing me every congressional district. This guy knows every district like the back of his hand, his binder. He just was able to go through and show me why this particular suburb was expanding and how they were getting out the vote for Bush during this campaign, et cetera. He knew every zip code. He knows, and he also knows recounts. And the fact that Arizona just certified their results last night, making it official for Biden. Now we're going to do a hand recount in Georgia. Do you think it's going to change it by more than a few hundred votes, if at all? Probably not. So Karl Rove's point, this would occasionally change margins in the hundreds, never in the tens of thousands. But that's not stopping him from raising money. So this is the brilliance right now of Donald Trump. Don't concede the election. Continue rolling on. The American people get screwed. The economy is plummeting. 900,000 people file for unemployment. Your task force, your coronavirus task force, won't meet with the new incoming administration. Well, that has one senator, one Republican senator, furious. Listen to Senator Frank Langford, James Langford, excuse me. He's a Republican senator. He did a radio show yesterday, and he's losing patience with Trump. And let me read this to you. It says, Trump's outright refusal to cooperate with Joe Biden's transition team is causing James Langford to lose patience. In fact, the Oklahoma senator, Oklahoma, the most conservative state in the country, said if the White House doesn't resolve the problem by Friday, Senator Langford will personally intervene. This is a break from precedent. The Trump administration has blocked Biden from accessing daily presidential intelligence briefings despite his election victory last week. He says there's nothing wrong with the Vice President Biden getting the briefings to be able to prepare himself so he can be ready, Langford told Tulsa station KRMG. He said, if that's not occurring by Friday, I will step in to be able to push them and say this needs to occur so the outcome of the election, people can be ready for the task. Yeah. So what happens if, you know, okay, these recounts go forward? There's legal battles that go forward. Many of them are being thrown out left and right. But if these recounts go forward and there is some sort of a big change, okay, fine. But at least, at the very least, this administration, this new administration would be prepared for pandemic. Corona, you know, the reports are that coronavirus will be the number one thing that Biden will have to tackle when he gets, when he takes over in January. Without a doubt, this thing is not going away. So that is priority number one. He needs access to this data. He needs access to these things for, you know, for Americans to have know that their administration is providing the safety. That's the one job of our government, is to provide safety for its people. If you fail in that regard, then you have nothing else to stand on. It's the one job the federal government is to protect its people. So we'll see if he has to step in by Friday. It'll be interesting to see if Republican senators step in and say, no more of this crap. No more of this crap. So what is President Trump spending his time doing right now? Well, according to these new reports, the president is getting ready to launch his own television network. Now, we've been reporting this for a couple of months, but now we actually have reporting coming in from Axios, from Mike Allen, who's of course a former author of The Playbook, highly plugged in reporter, Mike Allen. I love, though, that they titled this article "Scoop: Trump Eyes Digital Media Empire to Take on Fox News." I've been reporting this for months. Scoop. That's what I'm going to do every time now I break a story. I'm just going to put scoop in front of it. How about when I was telling you this back in the spring and people yelled at me? People like, how dare you? He doesn't want to, he wants to be president. He doesn't want to start his own television network. He wants to win. He cares about America. Sure. Keep telling yourself that. Then I did another story just about a month ago about Trump television. Well, now Mike Allen is on the bandwagon talking about Trump television, and here are a few key takeaways on it. He's been planning his television network to take on Fox, and he's planning his legal challenges right now to raise money, basically, so that he can leave office out of debt. I mean, that's the big goal here. He doesn't plan on actually trying to beat Joe Biden. He just wants to get out of debt, and he wants you to help him do it. So in this piece, Mike Allen talks about some Trump advisors think Fox News made a huge mistake with an early call of President-elect Biden's win in Arizona that enraged Trump and gave him something tangible to use in his attacks on the network. They said in this piece, he plans to wreck Fox, no doubt about it, said a source with detailed knowledge of Trump's intentions. Fox CEO Lachlan Murdoch said on a November 3rd earnings call, we love competition. We have always thrived at competition. Fox News has been the number one network, including broadcast networks, from Labor Day through to Election Day. That's actually not true. More people watch CNN. The numbers came out on ratings over the past week, and CNN won. So that's actually not accurate, Lachlan. Here's Trump's plan, according to this source. Trump is going to start his own cable channel. But instead of getting carried on cable networks like CNN or MSNBC in that way, like on the cable boxes, which can be expensive and time consuming, instead, Trump is considering a digital media channel that would stream only, just like Disney Plus or Netflix. It would be cheaper and quicker to start. Trump's digital offering would likely charge a monthly fee to his MAGA fans. Many are Fox News viewers already. And he'd aim to replace the network and a $5.99 a month Fox Nation streaming service. This is interesting to me. I thought these numbers blew me away. You know that Fox, David, are you familiar with that Fox Nation streaming service? That's what Fox launched a few years ago. It's like their digital version of Fox News. And some of the B players from Fox have shows on there.
Mm-mm, no, I didn't even hear of it.
Yeah, some people from Fox who like kind of their B-level anchors and stuff host shows on there, and they charge $5.99 a month for it. And there's an 85% conversion rate. You sign up for it for free, the Fox Nation thing. You sign up for it for free. 85% of people then stay on and continue subscribing to Fox Nation, their digital platform. So that's what he wants to do. He wants to take on that. Have all of those people that pay for the $5.99 Fox News thing come over to Trump Television Network and start paying for them. Plus, he's got a massive, Mike Allen makes the point that Trump's database of email and text message contacts would be a huge head start. All they would need to do is send out a tweet, send out a text message, send out an email. Hey, we just launched Trump Television. Come subscribe. Can you imagine?
You know, it's funny. When they were having the press conferences and he kept showing own so much love, I thought at that time, I'm like, I wonder if he has stake in that company, because he was so friendly to them. And I thought that was probably what he was going to start, was that network. But it sounds like, but his name wouldn't be in it. So that couldn't be the case, because his name will be in whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he needs his name in it. But also you got to think about, you know, the thing for him is this is all a plan. Like the thing with Donald is that he always sees things a few steps ahead. And so he never wanted to be president of the United States. We all know that. And they were shocked that they won. It was all a play to build his brand and to elevate himself so that he could pay off debt and build his brand, add prestige back to his name worldwide for his hotels and businesses and everything else. Then he wins. Oh, crap. And so needling Fox News in the press room saying, you know, Fox has changed. Fox is not what it is. Like he's been laying the groundwork now for months on this, needling Fox News, mocking Chris Wallace, you know, picking on Neil Cavuto, picking on some of these guys, needling them, you know, even saying on the air that they've lost their way, et cetera. So this is a perfect opportunity. So and now, of course, when they called Arizona ahead of time, I mean, that was a huge moment. I mean, it could have been planned that way. The Murdochs could have like said, let's do it. Who knows? Or it was just a happy accident. And so many Trump supporters were furious at Fox. You saw them protesting out in the streets saying, you know, F Fox News, et cetera. So they're not happy. So here's an opportunity for him to capitalize on that, launching his own network. He's going to spend a lot of time, according to the source, slamming Fox. Trump has increasingly complained about Fox News. He said Fox has changed a lot. And he said, and by the way, he thinks the reason he lost this election is because of Fox. One Trump insider says it's the biggest difference this season compared to last is that he didn't have the support of Fox News that he had last time. And the reason that he probably lost this election. Isn't that funny? So now starting his own network so he can stick it right back to Fox is exactly what's about to happen.
Well, you know what? Damn it. He should have just started a war. And they probably would have got right behind him.
Right. Yeah. They love to get behind the warmongers. Sorry. Maybe that's why they didn't support him. And you had all these warmongers on Fox. You know, that's why he didn't see eye to eye with Ambassador John Bolton, too. You know, Bolton wanted to go into Iran and just blow everything up. He's like, no, we're not going to do that. Pissed off Bolton. Got to listen to your war hawks, man. We got to blow people up. That's what we do when we're presidents of the United States. I'd love to hear your comments on this. We've got more to get to. Mainstream media. They have a new enemy. That's right. The mainstream media's new enemy is not Joe Biden. It's not Donald Trump. Kind of turned away from them already. No, the big new target for the mainstream media that's scared of this group of people, and Republicans are scared of this group of people. And you'll notice now on Fox and other places, they're going to start to turn their attention to this group of people. And that group of people, my friends, are the far left progressives, true progressives in this country. And we're already starting to see the groundwork. Now, the other day I reported on the story of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez ending her truce with the Democrats. Like in that New York Times article in her interview, she immediately came out, like ended her truce. Okay, we're done. Game over. We won. Great. Biden's in there. Not my guy, Bernie, but we did it. We helped you out. These progressives got behind you in some key areas, right? Detroit, Philadelphia, other states that needed that help. New Hampshire, et cetera. So progressives came out. Now, when I say progressive, let's be clear what I mean here. Because the mainstream media, I think, paints what they label as progressive with all one brush, right? They try to label a Joe Biden as progressive. He is not. He's middle of the road, milquetoast. Nothing's going to change Joe Biden. He's middle of the road, voted for wars, voted for the crime bill, supports fracking. He's not going to eliminate fracking.
He actually wrote the crime bill, didn't vote for it.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. Wrote it. Right. Let's not forget that. Wrote the crime bill and was proud of it at the time. Wrote the crime bill and spoke openly about how this was going to, you know, we're going to throw these people behind bars. Disaster. And we know what a disaster the crime bill is. And perhaps maybe that's why President Trump won so many new sectors of a voting bloc this time that did not want to go for Biden, did not want to support him. The African-American community who were openly outspoken on the streets saying, wait a minute, this is our choice. We're going to vote for a guy who voted for the crime bill, wrote it and voted for the crime bill. Okay. This is our choice. We can do better than this. So that's not what a progressive is. A progressive, to my mind, is an AOC. You know, it's somebody who, it's Howie Hawkins, whom we've had on our show, someone who supports real progressive ideas and stands behind it. It's not bought and sold by mainstream media and Wall Street, right? Stands for Medicare for all. Wants big changes in the climate change legislation and regulations. You know, wants free public college. Doesn't believe that we should be starting 8 wars during a presidency and bombing other countries into oblivion while people at home don't have enough to eat and we have an affordable housing crisis in this country. And these are the people that don't believe that when people say, oh, you can't pay for that. How are you going to pay for universal basic income for people? How are you going to pay for raising federal minimum wages? How are you going to pay to make sure Social Security is taken care of? How are you going to pay for free public college? Guess what? End all of these foreign wars. There's a start. And you can more than pay for it. End us bombing all of these other countries in these endless wars in Afghanistan for 19 years. For what and to what end? So that's what a progressive is. And that's what the mainstream media is scared of. AOC was on an interview with Jake Tapper just the other day. I'm going to show you Karl Rove's take on why progressives are coming after the Democrats and how the split is real. And it's going to be painful for the Democrats if they don't get on board with some of these changes. So here's Jake Tapper interviewing AOC just the other day. And he asks her right out about this from her New York Times piece and the challenges that she's going to face battling other Democrats.
Let me ask you, Congresswoman, how much does President-elect Biden owe the progressive movement and progressive leaders for his victory?
Well, you know, I think I believe that President Biden, in his wonderful acceptance speech last night, he acknowledged the enormous role that communities of color, Black communities, Latino communities, the trans community, et cetera, played in his victory. And we also know that majorities of these communities are progressive. They make up not just the progressive base, but the base of the Democratic Party. And so I believe that, you know, when we gin up the grassroots and we celebrate them to the election, we should also celebrate them in our governance. So I think a fair amount for us. I think we owe everyday communities. I think we owe the poor, middle class, working class, Black communities, communities of color, immigrant communities, a great deal in seeing them and honoring them in our legislation.
Yeah. So listen to her having to dance around that right now. She knows if she, it makes me sad, right, that she has to be a Democrat. Like, it makes me sad that she's not, you know, a member of some third party, because this is how they end up getting, you know, they lose their way. She's about to become a second sophomore member of the House. So she just won re-election by a landslide, by the way. She's being attacked now in other quarters. We'll get to more of that, how she's being attacked by Democrats already. But here she answers a question that she was faced with in the New York Times.
If you could take off your Congresswoman hat for just 1 second, I want to ask you on a personal note.
Oh, no, we already got to that. I'm sorry. So she was asked specifically about the New York Times piece and how, you know, the gloves are off. Like, we've got to pay attention to these people. So she's sort of having to dance the thing. Oh, he gave, you know, Biden gave such a pleasant, you know, speech the other night, his acceptance speech. Was so nice. And we've got to make sure we're doing more than just paying lip service to the people that got him here. Do you think that's going to happen? Trump campaign manager says that it, or Trump, Biden campaign manager says, yes, it will, that they will be fairly represented.
I do have a question.
But you're already starting to see. Yeah, fire.
So all of the 70 plus percent people that voted in a Fox News poll for government ran healthcare, right, are they now conservative progressives? Are they part of that, or what are they considered?
Well, and those were, I know, well, those, and that's the thing, that this is where the battle is. And this is why, this is the future of what mainstream media is going to have to face now. Because those 72% of people that you're mentioning in that Fox News poll, they were Republican that supported universal healthcare, Medicare for all. So conservatives, when you're asked specifically, like, and you're framing it the right way, you know, you're not saying like, do you want socialist medicine? People are like, no, I don't want that. It's because they've been lied to about what that even means. Like, what does it even mean? Have someone explain it to you. What does that even mean? If you're like, do you want Medicare for all? Yeah. Do you want universal health care? Yeah. Do you want pre-existing conditions covered? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's exactly what we've been fighting for. Oh, then why don't you say that?
Yeah, do you basically want what Congress and the Senate has for insurance? Do you basically want that?
Right. That's exactly what we're talking about. the type of care that President Trump got, right? When he got COVID, not necessarily being flown by a helicopter, but that's progressive medicine. That's government-run healthcare. That's what it is. And a majority of Americans want it. But the mainstream media doesn't want it. And the billionaires and Wall Street and the military-industrial complex doesn't want it. So that's the main battle that we're now seeing. That's what's unfolding before our eyes, is the establishment elite is going to try to squash this movement and do what they can. I mean, just look at, this is this progressive message right now to Joe Biden. You better not dare cooperate with Mitch McConnell. And this piece makes, Norman Solomon's piece in The Nation makes an interesting case about this. So there's no reason that Joe Biden has to bend over for his, to appoint his cabinet positions to Mitch McConnell. There's no reason for him to do so. So the argument is right now that because the Senate is controlled by Mitch McConnell, that the only way the Senate will approve his cabinet selections for Secretary of State, for Secretary of the Treasury, etc., is to pick Republicans or to pick people that are pretty moderate, like Joe. Because then otherwise Mitch McConnell won't approve his cabinet. So you need to have basically almost like a Republican cabinet of warmongers to get it approved. Progressives are saying, don't you freaking do that. You have plenty of things at your disposal. You can use the Vacancies Act, so you can actually get these appointments through on your own. You also have the ability to call a recess and do recess appointments. But see, the thing is, Democrats don't have a backbone. This is exactly the kind of stuff that Republicans do, don't they? How do they manage to get Amy Coney Barrett pushed through as quickly as possible? Democrats rolled over, basically, but they also, they were going full steam ahead without Democrat support. It didn't matter. They were going to do it come hell or high water. So much so that they didn't even bother doing a stimulus plan. So Republicans, this is exactly what progressives don't want, is for Biden to roll over on this. And they could put in, he could pick the right cabinet for his administration that has, you know, that has progressives on board. You don't have to fill it with Republicans. And by the way, no one cares. Like filling a cabinet with a Republican, like you're one or two token Republicans just to show that you're like, you're trying to work across the aisle. Now, if you want to really work across the aisle, don't kiss the butt of Republicans because they're the same party anyway. Start working with progressives. People who have real ideas and, by the way, keep winning elections. So this, I was struck by this last night. I just think it was so funny to see this, that AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is being slammed by Jay Jacobs up in New York for their poor election night turnout. She's basically saying, like, because you were trying to kowtow and play middle of the road, you lost. Like, you didn't do as well as you could have. And he's like, I'm sick of it. You know, she's in a district in the Bronx that's just like way too progressive. And she should come up here. She should come up here into these areas that are not more purple and see how well she does. Guess what? I would love to take on that challenge. I would love for like a really progressive candidate to go up in some of those so-called Trump-leaning areas and talk about free, public college for all, universal health care, fixing the environment, those areas up in upstate New York that are beautiful and they want to protect those lands. Talk about those things. Talk about, hey, you know, they're going to open a fracking field right near your houses over here. Do you know what that does to the groundwater? Do you know what that's going to do to your drinking water? Yeah, let's talk about it. Let me show you. Let me show you a jar full of methane-filled water. You want to drink this? You want to try it? I would love to see that. And I guess what would happen? That person would likely win an election there in those areas. But they're too scared. They want to kowtow and play middle of the road. That's what they do. And that's why Democrats got crushed in many ways on election night. Yeah, Biden's going to win. But the House, he lost like 12 seats or something. The Senate remained Republican. They didn't do very well. They didn't do very well. So here was Karl Rove last night. And this is where the mainstream media's new target is. Just watch. Hannity, I think, realizes like, okay, now we don't really need to talk about Biden really anymore. The real strategy now is to pick fights with progressives. Like, these are the true evil people. These people want health care for other people. They want us to end these wars. Are you crazy? These are the evildoers. And listen to Karl Rove try to break down some of these different races and what they've been calling for. It's pretty funny.
All right, Mr. Architect. There is a side of this election that we haven't even discussed, which is major losses for Democrats. And yet, this divide in the Democratic Party, your breakdown.
Yeah. Look, one of the surprises was, remember going into the election, we were told that the Republicans would lose as many as 19 or 20 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. And instead, that looks like they're on their way to pick up about almost a dozen, if not a dozen, which means they'll be somewhere in the vicinity of 208, 209. Dramatic cut in the Democratic majority in the House. And not only that, but the Democrats whom they're getting elected, some of these new freshmen are really far out there. Here are a couple. We got...
First of all, did you hear what he just said? And this is why this analysis is wrong. He said, okay, so here are some of the people that just got elected, and here's how far out they are. Okay. So they got elected, and they're far out there? Really? You're going to try to paint them with that brush? They won election? And these other moderate Democrats lost? That's why you picked up so many seats. You guys didn't beat progressive candidates. You beat moderate wimps. You beat Joe Biden-style wimps. That's why they lost.
Mondaire Jones of New York, who said, we need to move, we need to concentrate on moving funding away from the police departments. You want to claim that the Democrats aren't in favor of that kind of stuff? Go talk to new Representative-elect Jones from Westchester County.
Yeah, you know what they're talking about? It's not eliminating police departments. Is, oh, by the way, I don't think the police departments need tanks, decommissioned tanks from the U.S. military. I remember Tucker talking about this on Fox. Tucker, yeah, that guy. Saying, why in the world... Why do police departments need armored vehicles? Why do they need tanks? Why do we need to fund them to become creating like a police? Why? Good question.
Jamal Bowman says we ought to be shifting funding and resources from police departments, jails, and prisons. So it's not only that we got too many policemen, but we got too many jails and prisons.
We don't have enough jails and prisons in this country. Are you kidding me? It's like one out of every seven young black men in prison in this country. It's ridiculous numbers for like minor drug offenses from a crime bill written by Joe Biden, by the way. Private prison industry. Think about the prisons we have in the United States. No other country even comes close to the amount of prisons we have in the United States.
To let those people out. He's also in favor of a national reconstruction commission that will examine slavery and figure out how we can engage in reparations to the descendants of slaves. Several generations removed from it, but we're all responsible for it. We weren't around there during that day, Hannity. In fact, my people didn't even arrive in the United States until after the Civil War, but by God, we're responsible for it. Then we got Cori Bush, Mrs. Bush, from Baltimore, I believe it is, Maryland, and she says she wants to fund social services by defunding the police and the military. In fact, in October, she tweeted, if you're having a bad day, just think of all the social services we're going to fund after we defund the Pentagon, end quote. That's the kind of representation we're now seeing taking up their membership in the U.S. House of Representatives and the Democratic caucus. And that's why Nancy Pelosi is sitting there. Think about this. Nancy Pelosi just recently referred to herself about, she said, well, we're having a controversy between the moderates and the progressives. When did you think you'd ever hear Nancy Pelosi described as a moderate? I mean, she was a left winger when she came to Congress, and now the left wing is about 100 yards to the left of her. It's unbelievable what's happening to the House Democrats. What do you mean?
Yeah. Nancy Pelosi is a moderate? Yes, she's a moderate. She's a corporate elite. She's a corporate Democrat. Just like Joe Biden is a moderate. She's not a progressive. You kidding me? And by the way, yes, defunding Pentagon is exactly what I've been calling for here. Imagine what you could do to communities if you weren't spending trillions of dollars on military and tanks and things and bombing and wars that we don't need. Imagine the social services. Imagine what we could do to communities. That's so, I love this idea that that's radical. No, what's radical about it is that you guys on the corporate media are paid for by these guys, right? Like Carl can go and give a speech for $100,000 at a Raytheon convention, make $100,000. Oh, thanks so much for your, you know, these guys can go and give speeches and get all kinds of corporate donations and all of this stuff from these big money donors. So they can go on Fox, they can talk, they can go on all these shows and they can kind of promote this continued warmongering, or that you're unpatriotic somehow. You're unpatriotic if you don't want us going to war, bombing other countries indiscriminately. You're unpatriotic. You should be ashamed. Really? So this is the new target. And I love how, you know, there was this awareness at the beginning of that segment by Hannity. It's like, you know, we haven't even talked about this before. That's what he said. We haven't even talked about this before. Now this is our new target.
Tech, Fox News contributor Karl Rove. All right, Mr. Architect. There is a side of this election that we haven't even discussed, which is...
Yeah, we haven't discussed it because we've been too busy focusing on Biden. We haven't even discussed it. Here's your new target. And they're going to try to paint all Democrats this way. You know, it's not going to work because it backfired actually on Joe Biden. They tried to paint Biden and Kamala Harris as radicals. Ridiculous. They tried to paint Kamala Harris as progressive. Ridiculous. And it actually backfired because the data that came out after that debate when they were trying to paint her that way, and that early stage of round of advertising they were doing, people were like, oh, so she supports like universal healthcare? Well, I don't really see that as radical. Maybe I will vote for them. So it actually had the opposite effect. But I just love that Karl Rove pulls out these names of people who just won because they ran on things that people care about. Imagine that. Things that are not tied to the Pentagon making more money. Military and, you know, industrial complex funding and giving tanks to police departments. You want taxpayer dollars going there? Or would you rather have community centers set up to help people that are struggling with addiction so we don't have to throw them in prison? And also, by the way, pay for prisons on top of that. Imagine what you could do if you just opened your eyes and you weren't spoon-fed this crap by the mainstream media. This is exactly the kind of crap you get spoon-fed on a daily basis. Just open your eyes more, you know, just start to see this stuff. I just, you know, Carl with his... This is the real trouble. These progressives, and they're starting to lay the groundwork attacking them now. I'm telling you what you're going to hear is, and you're going to start hearing it from Democrats. Look, you're already seeing it from Democrats like Jay Jacobs in New York slamming AOC. He's had it. I've had it with these squad members lecturing the Democratic Party about having to fight to compete to win in purple districts. Don't lecture me just because you're in a really progressive district down there. Why don't you come on up here to where there's a couple of Trump people next door to other Democrats and try to run a campaign up here? I'd love to see that. I bet if she got in the room with Trump supporters and she explained universal health care, explained what's actually happening, you'd have a lot of people in that room shaking their heads, go sitting there at the beginning with their arms folded. By the end of the night, they'd be going... You stop, you know, being spoon-fed from the mainstream media. Smash that like button, everyone. Subscribe to the channel, if you'd be so kind. And don't forget, we have a daily morning newsletter that goes out every morning. You can subscribe to that. We cover the business news stories that I think are important to you, not Wall Street. Today, we covered some stories in there, like Wall Street bonuses are being cut. Wah, wah. So all those Wall Street executives are not going to be taking home the millions they thought they would this year. Because times were tough on Wall Street. Go to morninginvest.com. That's our website. And right there on that website, you can also leave me a voicemail. Right there on the website, there's a little voicemail box you can leave. So we can play some of those here on the show. I'm going to do more of that as I get those voicemails up. And also, you can subscribe to the email newsletter right there. So, do we have any good questions coming in? Let me check on G-Dog. He's passed out.
Somebody was asking Lisa Frazier, Clayton, what do you think of that huge arms deal Trump just made with the UEA or all the changes he's making in the Pentagon?
Well, I think just by expanding the, you know, military and spending 20%, I think he's bought by these guys. Look, these guys, they get in there and they, you know, we want to have this continuing relationship. Like, you know, he set this $8 billion in weapons sales after Congress said no. He wants to continue for these new arms sales with the UAE, despite evidence of like all kinds of wrongdoing in that country. So we're fine to keep selling them tanks, keep selling them weapons. It's fine. It doesn't matter as long as we make money off of it. I mean, despite the evidence, the country, you know, transferred American military hardware right into the hands of Yemeni into Yemen to be used against people so they could carry out a genocide. It reminds me, it's like Iron Man, you know, like the Iron Man movie, right? Like Tony Stark finds out like his weapons are being used to like destroy villages. Oh, it's a Stark on the side of it, right? And that's exactly what this is. Am I wrong? But we just got to keep making our money, man. We got to keep making sure that these military contractors are making their money. We're going to broker a deal for you. So all, you know, Northrop Grumman and all these people continue to make billions of dollars. They don't care. They don't care who's getting bombed, where it's going, where it ends up. We know that some of this stuff winds up in the hands of the Russians using American hardware. I mean, come on. It's amazing.
People are out, several people asking if there's any stimulus update.
Unfortunately, no. There is no stimulus update today. Nothing beyond what we had talked about yesterday. We do know that Biden has floated the, you know, if he gets the chance to vote on it himself in January, if they don't pass anything, the only update really is that Vice President Biden. I guess we could do a little bit of a stimulus update if you want. There's not a lot to it, but let's do your stimulus update right now. If Joe Biden has his druthers when he's inaugurated at the end of January, he will pass a stimulus package. He's already threatened Congress, like, hey, you guys work this out ahead of time so we don't have to deal with this on day one when I come into office, because we've got a whole lot of other crap we got to deal with, like coronavirus, et cetera. And right now he's dealing with the Trump administration, that's not helping him at all. But that might change, actually. And if you joined us late here, this is what Senator James Lankford had to say about that. That he's losing patience with President Trump. He's a Republican from Oklahoma, saying that if the White House doesn't resolve the problem by helping the Biden team transition, he's going to personally intervene. That Vice President Biden should be able to get access to all of this information, including coronavirus updates, et cetera, and presidential daily briefings, so that our country can remain safe. So there you have it. Sitting senator saying, not going to have it. By the way, again, Oklahoma, the most conservative state in the country. He's not happy with Trump. Nevertheless, Joe Biden wants two big issues that he's working on right now, coronavirus and stimulus in the economy. Now he has said that he would call for more stimulus if Congress does not pass any stimulus in the next few weeks before December. Right now, Biden's initial plan includes this. It's very similar to the CARES Act, the first one that passed back in March. It has stimulus payments included in it for eligible Americans, has more unemployment benefits. So there would be an extension of unemployment benefits. It would also have new measures to provide additional financial help. So here's what's in it. It would have extension of unemployment benefits, $600 per week on top of the benefits already being paid by states. And this would be for, this was a temporary relief. Of course, the $300 that President Trump did in his executive action was only $300. Those have been exhausted. Those have dried up. People don't have those anymore. Those are gone. So this would actually provide more funds for people going back to what was unfolded in the CARES Act. And it helped people tremendously. We know that that $600 kept people out of poverty. People were able to pay their bills, put some money aside for savings in case. And now I'm sure they've used it all up because it ran out. It doesn't go into specifics yet, does the Biden plan, on much funding and how much funding may be available, like one big number. We don't have that yet. So again, this is all sort of preliminary stuff, and we've already reported some of this. Again, nothing is set in stone. There's no actual bill. Just want to be very clear. So if you see other YouTubers out there telling you that there's new stimulus coming next week or today, that's not true. That's a lie. There will also be more monthly Social Security checks on Biden's plan. There were no measures to boost Social Security in the CARES Act, so this would be actually better than the CARES Act on this front. It would be an additional $200 to be added to the monthly payments that go out to Social Security recipients. So how many of you watching right now receive Social Security? Under this Biden stimulus plan, you would receive an extra $200 in your Social Security check under the Biden plan for stimulus. It would also forgive federal student loan. There's a couple of different numbers that have been floating around on this. Some of the numbers that I've seen are $50,000 of student loan debt would be forgiven under a Biden plan through executive action. He wouldn't even need to go to Congress for that, which would be amazing. There's also, back in August, Trump extended the forbearance of mortgages until the end of 2020. Biden's plan would go further and offering loan forgiveness on mortgages. So imagine that. So you've got a student... your forbearance continuing through the end of the year, like, you know, so you don't have to pay it back, but that interest is still accruing. So if Biden's plan would add on that $10,000 forbearance for this year, for the 2020 year of $10,000, that would be fantastic. But I've heard reports of it going up to $50,000, but that's where the Biden camp really wants to be. So maybe somewhere in between, I'm not sure. We'll have to see how this comes together. Other things that are included in this, more money for small businesses. More energy emergency sick leave for everyone who needs it, fiscal relief for states, no out-of-pocket money for COVID-19 testing, so you wouldn't have to pay for that, or treatment, that would be covered, and an eventual vaccine. You will not have to pay for that. We already know that 82% of the Pfizer vaccines have already been bought by governments. 82%. The EU has just bought 200,000 of them. So these are the very latest numbers. Again, we don't know when everyone would get a check. This is just some preliminary ideas from the Biden camp. Again, it pulls from the CARES Act. And hopefully Congress, we don't have to wait for the Biden plan. Hopefully Congress can get its act together and get something passed here in the next few weeks as we enter the holiday season. And that at least has been the goal for Mitch McConnell, who says he wants to pass something before the end of the year. The big question, of course, is will it be the smaller version, $650 billion, or will it be the larger version, 1.2, 1.8, 1.9 trillion, 2.2 trillion, which is what Democrats want. So we'll see somewhere in between. So that is your stimulus update for this Thursday. So thank you for asking that question. Again, I don't want to fill your head with too much, but I mean, that's kind of where we're at on this. It's not, again, nothing set in stone. And again, don't believe the hype when you see like different YouTube videos saying they're coming tomorrow. Finally, great news. I'm cynical by nature. I'm a positive person, but I'm cynical by nature. Until I see it in print and it's actually going to move to the Senate floor to be voted on, I'm not getting too hyped up.
And you kind of covered unemployment on there. Somebody's asking anything new on unemployment.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'd be $600 in unemployment. It would go back to what it was under the CARES Act, $600 unemployment benefits on top of the state benefits. And of course, that Social Security benefit is huge too. That's new. That's definitely was not in the CARES Act. So an additional $200. Anita Gobi says, isn't progressive the opposite of backwards? I like to think so. And I think that Republicans like to go backwards, mostly. I think Democrats mostly like to go backwards as well. That's why Biden has said nothing is going to fundamentally change under a Biden presidency, he told Wall Street. Your lifestyle won't change, Wall Street. Don't worry. Don't worry. Your lifestyle is going to be fine. Nothing much is going to change. Thank you guys for joining us today. Yeah, the budget. Randy Spencer brings up the budget and continuing resolution in December. Yeah, they've, of course. So these are the things on their table right now. Congressional budget. That continuing resolution runs out in December. So will every Christmas we go through this, will the government shut down? Are you an essential worker or you're not an essential worker? Are you going to get paid or you're not? We're going to shut down national parks. The government's going to shut down. I don't know what, you know, who knows under this Trump administration right now what this guy is doing. You know, like I said yesterday, Michael Cohen, his former, you know, his rat accomplice, thinks that he's just going to spend his time down at Mar-a-Lago and just abandon the White House at this point. He does not want to do these public appearances anymore. Like after the blowback from some of this yesterday, being out there at that Veterans Day observance ceremony, here's Andrew Feinberg. Ugh. Trump has been president for nearly an entire term. He still doesn't get that you're not supposed to put your hand over your heart, not salute. You're supposed to put your hand over your heart, not salute, if you're not a veteran or in uniform.
Now, somebody in the chat earlier said that as the commander-in-chief, he leads the military, so he still has the right to do that. I don't know if that's true, but that was mentioned in the chat.
You know, apparently not for this ceremony. Like, apparently not during, I don't know if it's for national anthem or what specific ceremony. But yes, when he gets off a flight or Marine One, he's able to go over and he, you know, he salutes the troops as they're walking, as they're guarding Marine One, right? That's normal, mm-hmm. right? But, like, you don't salute the dead if you're not a veteran or a person of in a military uniform. I think that's the rule. But yeah, I don't make the rules. I just read them. What'd you make of this, though? Like, everyone's saying, man, there's rumors that she's going to file for divorce as soon as he leaves office.
If she was smart.
Donald, this is not what I signed up for. And yeah, people, I think are just, I think you're right. Vernell says, Clayton and David, do y'all think this is a good plan for the American people as you read it out to us? The Biden plan? I mean, I don't think it goes far enough. I mean, unemployment benefits, we know. And again, we don't know all the details. These are just some preliminary discussions that we're getting word about. I think there absolutely needs to be rental assistance in here. There needs to be mortgage forbearance extensions. We've heard that's going to be in there. But unless we have mortgage assistance and rental assistance.
Well, and the thing is, like, how long?
This is going to be a disaster.
How long have they actually been? I mean, it's been over a year they've been saying this. Like, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. And it's like, you know, we're just taking the scraps that they're giving us. But it's like, yeah, they can say, we've all learned over the years, they say anything they can say to get our support. It's what they do. You know, it's like their actions. Their people are always like, well, this person isn't that bad. But if you go in and you actually look at how they vote, you can actually see who they're behind, whether it's the pharmaceutical industry, whether it's the military or whatever, just by looking at how they actually vote. And most people don't do their due diligence and go in and see how people are voting. So they just take them at face value, at their word. And the thing is, we can't take any of these politicians at their word, because they never tell the truth, any of them.
Exactly. And who are their donors? You know, like, who do they, yes, who they vote, how do they vote, right? But then who are their donors? Like, the only reason we learned about Dan Sullivan, the senator from Alaska, is because of some great environmental reporting that figured out pretended to be investors who were going to invest in the Pebble mine up in Alaska. So they got on these conference calls. They were ready to pony up, you know, fake millions of dollars to support the mine as an investor. And they get them, they get all these executives on these Zoom calls explaining, basically admitting that Dan Sullivan is in our pocket. We're going to get him on the phone. We're going to tell him what to say. We've put up enough money and given him millions of dollars to his campaigns, or hundreds of thousands of dollars to his campaigns. He'll be fine. He's not going to be a rabble rouser. He'll let this mine go forward. Meanwhile, the people of Alaska do not want the mine. And the environmental impact studies have shown that it would be ecologically disastrous to put this mine there. So the people don't want it in Alaska, and the environment doesn't want it, or the environmental impact would be terrible. And yet Dan Sullivan gets reelected just yesterday, officially, and is going to vote for the Pebble Mine. He's going to allow it to go forward. So, I mean, come on. I mean, how's that representative government? It's not. These guys are just bought and sold by these people. These people do not represent you. You're absolutely right about that.
Another thing is, too, a lot of people don't realize, you know, a lot of these Congress and Senate, I'm going to pick on one in particular, is Nancy Pelosi. She's become a $100 million since she's been a politician. They should not become $100 millionaires by serving the people. Because if they do, you know who they're serving. They're serving the donor class. Because they're, I mean, like that whole meme of her eating ice cream in front of what, a $10,000 refrigerator, you know, like they should live off of their, what is their salary? $175,000 or I think for Congress or something like
yeah,
that.
I think it's like 150, 175. They, by the way, they recently voted for the, to give themselves a pay raise.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right. I mean, so they vote for themselves to get a pay raise. They're somehow, the thing is, like, they're not being paid directly by these guys, right? They're getting donations for their campaigns from Wall Street and all of these, you know, big oil, big gas, but they all have like beautifully big houses, multiple houses. And what happens is they get like these cushy contracts, or like buy them these contracts. Like, that's why like Biden has these like big houses and stuff. It's like he gets to curry favor with these contracts, with these businesses who, we'll take care of building that house for you. We'll make sure it's taken care of. You know, we've got some contacts that'll make sure that kitchen is really nice. You know, that's how this stuff happens. They get access to insider information. I mean, we see these guys selling stocks, you know, a few weeks before we saw that in the early part of the year, right? A bunch of these senators got these briefings. So they sold off their stocks, made a big profit, and then the stocks tanked a few weeks later because they had insider information. And they're all crooked.
People are like, why don't we do things to change this? But the thing is, the only way will ever change it is with people actually paying attention and looking at how these people vote. And when they don't vote the right way, we vote them out. But the thing is, we listen to the media, we listen to them and take them at their word. And that's what keeps perpetuating these same people getting into office time and time again, because nobody holds them accountable for anything they do. You watch an interview on the media and they just lob them softballs. Oh, so you're doing this, you're doing that. Nobody holds them accountable for what they actually do.
Yeah, I mean, like, what a softball, like, see what kind of softball questions.
As a woman of color, to see a black woman as vice president-elect of the United States?
I mean, it's...
So I ask you one somewhat difficult question, and then I go right into talking about Kamala Harris and what does that feel like? Like, we want to hear about her feelings. Tough questions. At least we got some tough questions of Ro Khanna the other day.
In a significant and more than twice Obama stimulus. Pelosi shut you down. She said, quote, Ro Khanna, that's nice. That isn't what we're going to do. Why do you think Pelosi refused to take that deal before the election?
My guess would be that she thought we would win the Senate and we would have a bigger majority in the House, and that...
At least he asks tough questions, but yeah, most of the media just throws these softball questions. And the thing is, people are lazy. Let's be honest. People are lazy and they don't want to dig in and find out how people vote. And it's much easier to just watch a television commercial, one of those 30-second campaign commercials, like David voted against clean air. You know, why is David hate clean air? Well, actually, if you dug into it, you realize he voted against the the Republican named Clean Air Act, which was actually making air dirtier. So, you know, it's like, it's all, and that's how people win elections. Oh, I saw that. Yeah, I don't want that guy. David voted against clean air. No, he actually voted against a bill that actually made the air dirtier, but they called it the Clean Air Act. So he voted against the Clean Air Act, but man, he's a bad guy. But no one takes the time to figure that kind of stuff out.
No, we're a clickbait society.
On this. Yeah.
We just read the headline and that's all. And the thing is, like, it's all public information. You can see every bill. You can see who voted on it. You can read every executive order right off the White House website. Like, if you really want to, and I did that for a while. I was reading all the executive orders and it was just like, holy cow, I can't believe the stuff they hide in this stuff. You know, like they're hiding all these little things. Yeah. In these bills and all this other stuff. And people just, you kind of just wait till you hear it on a news channel and you're getting an analysis from, you know, basically an echo chamber at that point. And it is hard. It would be very hard for people to actually go and read everything that's coming out of Washington. But if you did, it'd make you even sicker than you are now.
Yeah. Yeah, because, and that's the thing, even these news stations, they don't do it. They pull one little thing out of it. And they, you know, like the bridge to nowhere, right? They'll pull like one thing out of it. And, or that shrimp, remember that like shrimp exercise machine? Like they were studying like the effects of a shrimp, like doing exercise. And so it had a hilarious video, but the underwater shrimp cam.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually part of like research that was in some sort of legislation. It was pork, you know, it was pork spending for some research of shrimp and how they exercise. And so I remember seeing that video, but that's like one thing they pull out. They've all got these pork projects in there. That's how this stuff gets done. That's how anything happens in Washington. All get their pet projects pushed through. I know Andrew Yang is actually in favor of that. He's like, you know what? I'm okay with that. Like if we're able to horse trade some things and I actually get this type of legislation through, but you get a new community center built. Okay. Then that's a good trade-off. Then somebody wanted the community center. Okay, I'm willing to make that trade. I don't know how I feel about that.
Love or hate Ron Paul, but Ron Paul proposed legislation back in the day that was to make bills one page. It was one issue, one page, and that failed miserably because that's what it is. That's their negotiation tool. That's how they get bad legislation passed. Is because otherwise, if they did single bills and we could actually read a single bill and understand it, they wouldn't pass half the stuff they pass.
Right. You remember that school, was it School of Rock? No, what was the, that old show, Schoolhouse Rock?
Schoolhouse Rock, I'm only a bill.
I'm only a bill. And like, they make it seem like it's that simple. Like it's just a single issue bill.
He's like one single rolled up piece of paper.
Capitol Hill. Right. One little rolled up. Yeah. I'm only a bill.
If that thing was actually a bill, he wouldn't be able to walk. Like,
right.
Like this thick.
Let's see if I can find that. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill.
Capitol Hill. Let's see if I can find this. Here it is.
Body grows bigger.
Your mind. Stand by. Here we go. I found it. You can hear this, right?
Yeah.
Body grows bigger. Your mind has power.
It's great to learn.
Cause knowledge is power. It's too much, Rocky. The chip on the rock. Your favorite is too much.
You sure
got to
climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building.
We do
Washington.
Have an echo, though.
Well, I wonder who that said those crap papers.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol City. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
One little sad bill. Just a bill on Capitol Hill. Oh, man. That's going to do it for today's show, everyone. Thank you guys so much for dialing us up, making it a part of your morning routine. We're live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, covering the stories you won't see on the mainstream media. We'll take those mainstream media stories and actually give you the truth and dissect them. We'll do the homework that other people won't do so you can be fed the truth. Thank you so much for joining us. Subscribe to our channel. If you're new here, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Turn on the little bell notification so you'll be notified as soon as we go live every day. Thank you, everyone. We will see you again tomorrow.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.